The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80 and your smart speaker. This is a better get right game for Cam, boy. You can't beat the Jets. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, Max Kellerman Show. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Packers beat a banged-up 49ers team on Thursday Night Football. Are the Packers the NFC's best? By the way, I was told I was calling Alex Cora, Joey Cora, in the first hour of the show. You know, they were brothers. They both played middle infield. I guess, Raj, I wanted to believe that it was Joey Cora and not Alex Cora. Because Alex Cora, after all, didn't he spend years with the Dodgers?
He did. That was actually right. The first Dodger that I had, like, a cell phone of, like, one of my first guys.
Second base guy. So, like, I would like to think he wasn't mixed up in a cheating scandal that cheated the Dodgers out of the World Series.
Ooh, yeah. He did his brother on. Yeah. That's a good point.
They were both pretty good players. I thought Joey was a little better at his best.
Joey's more of a utility guy. Yeah, he was. He could play second, short.
I think Joey hit a little better. I don't remember. Okay. I got to look it up. But I think Joey hit a little better. But I don't know. Whatever. They were both good players. They weren't, like, spectacular, but they were good players. And it's unfortunate that Alex Cora had to cheat the Yankees in 2017. Okay, now. Aaron Rodgers, Raj, went deeper into his career than any player ever without throwing to a first-round pick. And when he finally did, I forgot who it was, but it wasn't like, hey, the Packers drafted this guy in the first round and he turned out to be great. And now, no, it wasn't even like that. It was like they had, I forgot who it was already. But it was like, you know, a guy who's had been around the league and now he's on the Packers and they never get him any first round help at receiver. And by the way, if they're not doing that, great. If you draft and develop well enough, we had Donald Driver on First Take today and he's like, yeah, I was in the second round. Fine, if you draft and develop well enough, Devontae Adams, whatever, you know, that you don't have to spend draft, like, high up first-round draft picks on receiving targets for Aaron Rodgers. Great. So you must have an awesome defense, right? You must have a great defense in that case if all those draft picks are going to the defense. Your best draft pick, your highest draft pick, your first-round draft pick went to your backup, went to replace Aaron Rodgers? And by the way, if the Packers don't win, if they don't get out of the NFC this year, it's the Packers management's fault. Because you can't, let's put it this way. Jordan Love, in order for this to be the right call for the Packers, Jordan Love has to make the Hall of Fame. How's that for pressure? If you win 13 games and you're in the NFC Championship game and you have an aging quarterback who you're saying, hey, can he get back to his prime form, which he is right now, and you don't have a defense, and he's not throwing any first round picks, and you spend your first round pick on his replacement instead of on maybe an impact defender that can get you over the top. Well, in that case, that quarterback better go to the Hall of Fame. Like when they drafted Brett Favre's replacement, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to the Hall of Fame. And that's the Packers anyway. Bart Starr, whoever it is, it's going to be like, this guy's going to be our quarterback for 15 years and he's going to be great and he's going to win a Super Bowl, right? Okay. I guess that's Jordan Love now. And they just couldn't pass him up. That Packers defense is not good. And Rodgers has enough offensive weapons. It's not like he doesn't have anyone. Devontae Adams is very, very good. Aaron Jones is good. He could use a guy on the other side of Devontae Adams who could really play. Aaron Rodgers, do we have that sound, Raj? At the post-game presser.
Yeah.
Did he feel bad for the Niners missing so many guys? They're all banged up.
No one's feeling sorry for anybody in this league. That's the way it goes. Nobody's feeling sorry for us when we're dealing with our injuries. And, you know, you just have to be a next man up mentality. Obviously, they had a number of young guys play. We had a number of young guys play. So that's the NFL in 2020. Obviously, they've got hit with the injury bug a lot more than you usually see. But it's still football. It still feels great to win. It was good to be 6-2 at the halfway point, first in the division.
By the way, he's lucky that it's the Niners without Jimmy G. That's a team that can't win without their quarterback. He doesn't have Bakhtiari back yet. Bakhtiari's the kind of guy who it's hard to say. I remember when I'll go back to my Yankees, Raj. The Yankees signed Brian McCann. Remember the catcher from the Braves? And I don't know, going back 10 years, whatever it was. And I remember thinking, if McCann winds up, like, what, when the Yankees make a signing like that, they're betting that McCann's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame, which didn't turn out. But he was about halfway through a Hall of Fame catcher career. And it was more like years ago, like when the Angels signed Lance Parrish. It turns out, no, he wasn't actually. The second half of the career didn't match the first. It happens with catchers. They get worn down. But Bakhtiari kind of reminds me of a guy like that. Like, Bakhtiari may be halfway through a Hall of Fame career. It depends how the back nine matches the front. Because he's an absolute elite tackle when he's healthy. And it's like, if you're going to miss him, good to miss him against this Niners team. 888-SAY-ESPN. Dan from Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
To pose to you, what will it take for Aaron to be considered better than Brett Favre? If I may, Brett Favre has 79,000 career passing yards. Aaron's already got 46,000. Brett, 508 touchdown passes. Aaron has 189, I believe, to his, I'm sorry, 381, I think, to his name. Or will it just simply take a second Super Bowl title in Green Bay? What do you think?
Aaron Rodgers is already better than Brett Favre, and everyone knows it. Brett Favre on his best day was never as good as Aaron Rodgers. On the all-time list, Rodgers ahead of Favre already. Rodgers, look, Favre had special arm talent. It's like, it was the reason I like Mahomes better than Rodgers. He's a little bigger and sturdier, but he's also, his arm is a little more electric. It's not, Favre can thread the needle. He has an amazing arm. But there was something a little different about watching Favre. Like, the one thing, Favre had durability over Rodgers, and Favre, and Rodgers better than Favre, everything else. Every single thing else, Rodgers better than Favre. Favre had durability. Favre had a different kind of arm. When you watched it, there was something different. That's what Mahomes has, too. But Rodgers is better than Favre. He's a much smarter quarterback than Favre. He's more mobile. And he's more accurate. He's better. He's better now. They each have a Super Bowl. Favre has the durability thing going for him. But I think when we're comparing all-time greats, provided you sustain your prime for a solid amount of time, we're really comparing peak to peak. Sometimes a guy's career accomplishments just overcome everything. Like, Tom Brady has 6 Super Bowl rings. He's been to 9. He won 6. So basically, every other year, Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl, and 2 out of 3 of those years, he's winning the Super Bowl. So even if I've seen guys better at their peak, he's the GOAT. Favre, because of the durability, the Iron Man streak, you know, I give it to him, and he had something about him. Guys like, you know, playing with him and the drawings to play up in the dirt and all that. Rodgers better than he is. I don't think anyone really thinks Favre was as good as Rodgers. Steven from Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, sir? Very nice talking to you again. Just a quick going back to the MVP that the quarterback from Seahawks has never won, Wilson. Can you tell us, the audience, for the last 10 years, which year and which player robbed him of the MVP? The MVP is not a 10-year being good at what you're doing. It's for the 1 year being the best.
I agree. He's never been robbed. No, I agree. He hasn't been robbed. What's interesting is sometimes people just kind of get robbed by circumstance. So, for example, I don't think Russell Wilson in any one season would have been my MVP. But if you said over the last 5 years, who's the most valuable quarterback? Russell Wilson. So it's kind of, it's a shame that in a way, like, why is it arbitrarily this year that's an MVP, right? Over that amount of time, there have been guys better. But over half a decade, he's been the best. But never the best in any one season. I agree with you. Oh, wait, we have Warren Sharp on the phone right now from sharpfootballanalysis.com. Warren Sharp, are you there on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line? There you go. Excellent. So listen, while we're on the topic, who's the MVP so far this season, Warren?
I still think it's Russ, but again, I don't have a strong take yet because I think it's going to come down to who ends up willing their team to that finish line of getting that first round bye in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers certainly has a good case right now. I think Russell Wilson has a very good case right now as well. And ultimately, it's going to be most of these awards go to the team that earns that first round bye. And both these teams are vying for one first round bye. So I think it's going to come down to the wire. It truly will.
Warren, I think Mahomes is the MVP. 21 touchdowns, one interception. He has the most adjusted yards per attempt. He has the highest PER. His team is a one-loss team. Why isn't Mahomes the MVP?
Well, to me at least, what we've seen right now this season is a Chiefs offense that has relied a lot more on the ground game and hasn't required Mahomes to deliver the brilliance that we're typically accustomed to seeing from him. I mean, when you have a guy as good as Patrick Mahomes, you could argue that every single season he could be the MVP.
Yes, I do.
Because of how talented he is, and you won't really get that many cases of massive pushback. But from what I've seen, 2018, 2019, and then 2020, this offense has just not required him to do nearly as much. He hasn't had to carry as much on his shoulders. He hasn't been as valuable to his team this year as he's been in years past where he had to do most of the carrying. Their defense is playing really well. The run game is going really well. And the team is calling plays a lot differently as a result of that and saving him for what I think is their true goal again, which is to repeat as Super Bowl champs. I will not say that if this team does not get if this team gets the first round bye, you know, Mahomes is absolutely in the discussion for MVP. But if you're asking me to pick one guy who I think is doing the most, I'm looking at Seattle's pathetic defense and I'm looking at what Russell Wilson has done statistically and how much better this team is than in years past. And it's because they're letting Russ pass the ball more and he's the one who's carrying this team. And so I've got to give it to him at this moment in time.
Warren, are you familiar with Casey Joyner's work, the football scientist?
A little bit.
So Casey and me, you know, I've had him on the show like in New York and LA for years, and he was talking about how, and this seemed counterintuitive to me, but I want to get you to weigh in on this, that in fact the Chiefs want to avoid shootouts, that their record in shootouts, while it's a winning record, is pedestrian compared to their record in other games, which is why Hilaire gets a lot of carries. If they're gonna give him the run, might as well take it, right? And so I get what you're saying about Russ is being asked to win shootouts, which he's doing. The only loss he has is a game that hinged on a single play in overtime to the second place team. And otherwise, he's won all these shootouts and has won every other game. But I'm interested to get your take on Casey Joyner's take about the Chiefs in shootouts. Why do you agree that they should avoid shootouts? And if so, why?
Look, I mean, every team wants to go into a game trying to prevent the other team from scoring a lot of points. So if the goal is to lower the other team's ability to score points, you will certainly be able to do that when your own offense has the football. I think the way that this team is structuring things from an offensive perspective, they used, which we didn't discuss this early enough in the season, we didn't discuss it before the season, this mindset and this approach that with the exception of the Baltimore Ravens game, this is a team that said, we know our guys aren't quite 100%, right? We don't want Tyreek Hill running 20 go routes down the field week one against the Houston Texans with no preseason games. We want to ease these guys into it. We need them healthy by the end of the season for the stretch run. And so we're just going to rely a little bit more on the ground game. I think the Chiefs are just playing to the defenses that they're facing. They have played the Chiefs, the number one easiest schedule of opposing run defenses on the season. So a smart coach, like if I'm advising them, I'm saying this team stinks defending the run. Let's run the football a little bit more. I don't know that they're running the football just because they don't think Patrick Mahomes can score enough points to win in the shootout. I think they're running the football because they know, A, it keeps our offense fresh and healthy, especially our skill positions that we're going to need to win in the playoffs, as well as our quarterback. we don't want those guys getting burned out over this weird offseason that we've been dealing with. But B, this is our quickest path to victory because these teams can't defend the run very well.
Interesting. Actually, KC's point, I think, was not that Mahomes can't win shootouts. He can, and he usually does. It's that that actually gives the other team a chance. And if they're going to give them the run and they're just going to take it, now the other team doesn't even have a chance, especially because Mahomes is the quarterback if you need him to throw the ball. Antonio Brown's impact on the Bucs-Saints game, right? On the one hand, Warren, I think about Devontae Adams coming back off injury and Rodgers kind of trying to force him the ball, and the Bucs defense took advantage of that. On the other hand, the Saints defense has been underperforming this year, but they brought in Quan Alexander. I think that's a good player, but I'd like to know if in fact he is. I you know, like it seems to me he is, but I'm sure you know better than I. And what you think Antonio Brown's impact will be on the Bucs right away.
Well, I've heard differing perspectives here. I've heard some people say and theorize that they're going to ease him in, and their goal is just to have him incorporated fully into this offense by the end of the season. But I'm looking at this from a perspective, and we'll see. I mean, I'm not on the inside there to know for a fact, but if you look at Antonio Brown, it's not like we're sticking Antonio Brown on the L.A. Chargers with Justin Herbert, a rookie quarterback, and we're trying to figure out how he's going to work with this guy for the first time and really throw off the pattern of all these other stud wide receivers they have, like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. We're talking about a team in the Bucs that you and I both saw that game on Monday night. Were targeted a lot for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, some of these guys we didn't even know. One of the guys had one reception before that game, and he was the most targeted player on the Bucs. Their wide receiver health is not ideal. They're going to, I think, get Chris Godwin back, but he's dealing with a broken finger. That's not great when you're a wide receiver trying to catch balls from Tom Brady. But Brady has had experience working with AB before, and Bruce Arians has had experience calling plays with AB before as well because they worked together in Pittsburgh. So I think it's something where if they chose, they could actually incorporate him and give him 8 to 10 targets in this game. I think one of the things that we have to be aware of in this game that's very interesting is the wind speed. We talked a lot about that heading into last week's games because a lot of the games in the Northeast were dealing with a lot of wind. Well, this game on Sunday night in Tampa, I'm seeing right now, we'll see by game time, 27 to 29 mile per hour winds with gusts in the mid to upper 30s. These are situations like Drew Brees dealt with in last week's game, and Drew Brees, when he played in Chicago and they won in overtime. But in that game, Drew Brees had the lowest average depth of target of any quarterback in the NFL last week. It was a lot of short passes that were then turned into bigger gains and made his yardage totals a little bit more respectable. This Tampa Bay defense is very good at rallying to the ball to shut down some of these shorter passes. We saw the way that the Giants were moving the ball a little bit with stuff over the top to attack the secondary down the field more. Drew Brees was averaging, I think, only like 4.9 air yards per target, so very close to the line of scrimmage. I don't know how well that's going to work here, but that wind will certainly factor in. You know that Bruce Arians, for whatever reason, has one of the highest run rates on first downs in the first half of games. The team is terrible doing so. Will the wind make him want to run the football even more? There's a lot of X factors with this game. I think it's going to be fascinating.
That's interesting stuff. I think getting Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders back, though, might help that depth of target a little bit. Really quick, Warren, they want me to wrap, but I'm dying to know. To me, I look at Cam's season. Statistically, he's been bad, right? But if not for a goal line stand and a play made by Bobby Wagner, one of the best in the business, if Cam punches that ball in and if he doesn't fumble against the Bills, the narrative around the Patriots and Cam is very different. They're 4-3 with wins against the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Bills, and the Seahawks. But instead, because of those two plays, they're 2-5 and Cam Newton's career is over. Can Cam turn this season around, at least for himself?
I think it will be possible down the stretch. I think that there's going to be opportunities for him. I would like to see it sooner rather than later, but we can't avoid the discussion point that COVID sometimes impacts guys for weeks afterwards.
Right,
their breathing
right.
And some of their other things that's going on with them. So we actually saw Trent Brown. He's dealing for the Las Vegas Raiders. He's dealing with COVID after effects this week in practice that's actually impacting his ability to be available right now. And so some of these guys, like a finely tuned athlete, you don't know how it's going to affect different guys. I think over the course of the season, 3-4 weeks down the road, once it's maybe out of his system a little bit more or his body's adapted, maybe he starts to look a little bit better. We have to also keep in mind he's working with a lot of receivers that wouldn't be starting on any other team. So I don't know that we can, like, bury him and say his career is over because of what he's done for these few weeks in New England with backup wide receivers all over the place and contracting COVID. We definitely can't do that. I still think he's got more juice in the tank, and I hope that we see it.
Warren, what do you want to plug before you get out of here?
Sharp Football Analysis, we're crushing it this season, having a great year, hitting 70% on totals, and definitely looking forward to this week's games. I love a couple of things on the card this week, and one of them nobody else likes but me. People are betting the under in this Raiders-Chargers game. I like the over in that one.
There it is, Warren Sharp, Sharp Football Analysis. Check it out. Best in the business. Thanks a million as always, Warren.
Thanks, Max.
The NBA is gifting us an early Christmas present. But is it too soon? Too soon. Is it too soon? While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home. And listen to this. Oh, I have no computer experience. Even with zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens, you know, like when life gets back to normal, we're in the middle of a pandemic, everyone. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. So think about it. I'll just go over this one more time. Live online classes meet just twice a week, and you can become an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You hear about Canelo and Golden Boy? We'll talk about it on Last Take, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Devontae Adams was in the zone last night with 10 receptions for 173 yards. Of course, I didn't have him on my DraftKings team because Raj doesn't include Thursday games just to cheat me out of my DraftKings wins. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Every game counts, Raj. All the Thursday games, too.
But you see what would have happened. Our friend Steve Mason would have been. Our friend Steve Mason wouldn't have been able to play because he's vacationing in Arizona, and he can't play out there. So he.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so he doesn't get back till tomorrow, so he's going to get his lineup.
Wait, you can't play in Arizona?
Apparently, that's what he said. He couldn't load his lineup. That's what he was letting me know on Monday. So
I remember that used to happen in Vegas. I would go to Vegas. I couldn't get my lineup in. But that's why
and
Arizona.
Remember, Max, we need every $10 we can get to get closer to that $60 we're going to win. That's important. That $10 from Steve Mason is vital to our
I
know,
love
weekend.
Taking
I want
Steve
to win
Mason's
that
$10. That's right.
Yes.
NBPA reps. NBPA. Oh, the Players Association of the NBA you're talking about. Yeah, sorry. Approved December 22nd date for the 72-game regular season. So there it is. The NBA and the National Basketball Players Association will now finish up financial terms on an amended collective bargaining agreement, which will take it, which will take into next week, sources say. The trade moratorium is expected to be lifted shortly prior to November 18th draft. This is great. NBA is about to give you a 72. Why 72 games? Same reason they play those extra 7 or 8 games in the bubble in the regular season. That's where the local TV contracts kick in. NBA is getting all their money, and they're getting no positive COVID cases, and they're crowning champions. Dr. Pepper, call in line 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mr. Pleasant from Houston, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, how you doing, Max?
Go ahead, Mr. Pleasant.
I'm calling about my Houston Texans.
All right.
I'm a diehard fan, and I know they're in search of a GM. And my guy for the job is one of your colleagues, Lewis Reddick.
Mm, good choice.
I would love to have Lewis Reddick down here to get this team back in order.
I want Lewis Reddick as the GM of the Giants. Here's the main thing. When you have an executive like Bill O'Brien, when you have someone at the top of your organization, an executive making decisions, you can't give them enough time to ruin you. You got to get the new guy in there pronto. I'm trying to remind myself what this reminds me of. Is there anything else going on in the world that reminds me of this right now? Terrible executive ruining everything. You got to get a new guy in. Anyway, I would say Bieniemy. I mean, sure, Lewis Riddick's a great choice, but I want to save him for my football Giants. Eric Bieniemy. Like, you know, he seems to be working out for Patrick Mahomes. Let's see what happens with Deshaun Watson. The problem with Bill O'Brien is that was the dumbest trade. You trade DeAndre Hopkins for a couple, like, not only that, you take back a bad contract in David Johnson. You don't even get draft compensation for the Johnson contract. And you don't really get enough draft compensation, period. And you break up Watson and Hopkins and you give him to Kyler Murray? Ooh, I'd be hot if I was Deshaun Watson. By the way, news from Max Kellerman Nation. That was Mr. Pleasant. He just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line about my colleague, Lewis Riddick at ESPN. Mr. Monday Night Football as GM candidate for the Houston Texans. I would say that's a very good choice. I'd like him for my Giants, and Bieniemy is a guy who should be a head coach somewhere. Charles from Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
What's going on, Max? I'm going to make this quick.
Yep.
I have a problem with the Aaron Rodgers thing. Mm-hmm. You all give him all kind of credit when he does great things, and he does do great things. But time he plays some real competition and doesn't do well, then he needs help. Mm. I'm trying to figure out which one are we going to go with. Does he need help or is he a bad man?
Well, he's a bad man, but football is not a one-man sport. Like, you know, more than any other sport, you need a team. And Aaron Rodgers is not exposed against good teams. Look, his touchdown and interception rate, first of all, he's won a Super Bowl. He's won lots of playoff games. He's done it with miraculous throws. I remember Ryan Hollins, the former basketball player. Now he's a broadcaster. Ryan Hollins was at my place in L.A. We're watching the Packers and the Cardinals, was it? It was a playoff game. I'm forgetting already who they were playing. And Aaron Rodgers makes a spectacular throw, and they call it back. And I remember saying to Ryan Hollins, let's see him do it again. Okay, you're the baddest man on the planet. Let's see you do it again. He did it again. Like, Rodgers has done that so many times in his career. You can't question whether he can do it against great defenses and impossible situations. Yes, yes, yes. Check, check, check. But when he faces the best teams, certain things are exposed about the Packers. Not about Rodgers, about the Packers. They're thin at receiver after Davante Adams in terms of, you know, like, really talented guys. They don't have a defense. I'm not making that up. Yeah, Raj.
Wasn't that game against the Cowboys? He made that amazing play.
No.
It was third or fourth and long. Was it against the Cowboys? Because he's killed them every which way in the playoffs.
It wasn't the Cowboys. Right. Yeah, he's killed. No, no. Now, he did kill the Cowboys. That's a different game. Dak played very well in that game. And he brought the Cowboys back from the dead. And if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers just being on another level, and he made a play Dak just not capable of making, that won the game for the Packers. Yes, he also did that against the good Cowboys team. But I'm pretty sure it was against Arizona. Maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. Rodgers has done things. The only guy I've seen do the things that Rodgers has done consistently is Mahomes. To me, of everyone I've ever eyeballed, those two guys are in their own category. Canelo finally got his wish, guys. Last Take is next. Starting Monday, you can stream the Max Kellerman Show daily on ESPN Plus. With ESPN Plus, you can stream the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. You can stream Greeny. You can stream Shanae and Golic Jr. And you also get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. As always, you can hear all of us on ESPN radio stations all across the country, SiriusXM, and the ESPN app. Last Take is next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
DAZN, the streaming service, which was, you know, launched a couple years ago. It was $20 a month. I subscribed to it. It was, you know, you had fights. They started spending an enormous amount of money on boxing. Like, when I was at HBO, HBO monopolized worldwide boxing, right? Like, the best fighters in the world, out of the pound-for-pound best fighters, let's say 7 or 8 of them, would fight on HBO. And they did it with a budget around $80 million a year. And no one else came close. Showtime maybe spent 20 or 30. ESPN at the time was spending maybe $2 to $5 million, a couple other outlets like that. And then Sky Sports would spend some. Maybe total investment in the Western Hemisphere was $150 million. For TV rights, something like that. Then boxing money exploded because HBO started getting out of the game and other outlets saw boxing does a number. We can get subscribers and it's relatively cheap compared to the other sports to produce. So ESPN jumped in with Top Rank, $90 million a year. Fox and Showtime jumped in with the PBC, $50 million a year, a pop. DAZN built their streaming service on boxing. They spend, according to my calculations, until recently, until the pandemic, they were starting to approach like $250 million a year on rights fees for boxing, dwarfing everyone else. They had the two biggest stars in the sport at the time, Anthony Joshua and Canelo Alvarez. Well, the biggest star at heavyweight at this moment is Tyson Fury. He's clearly the best heavyweight. And Anthony Joshua got knocked out by Andy Ruiz, and then beat Ruiz in a rematch. And Joshua's an underrated fighter at this point. But maybe his star is a little diminished compared to where it was when DAZN signed him. And Canelo Alvarez, who they guaranteed $35 million a fight for, but said he had to fight premium opponents, was saying no matter who they were bringing to DAZN, no, it's not a premium opponent, it's not a premium opponent. And so there was beef and a lawsuit, and looks like Canelo and Golden Boy and DAZN are going to part ways. Looks like Canelo's going to be a free agent. Wonder where he's heading. Maybe he could remain a free agent and fight wherever he wants. That's not a bad move. I'm sure we'd love to have him at ESPN. I mean, I'd love to see him on ESPN. I'd like to see Canelo fight, period. Dr. Pepper call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who do I take here? Who do I take? Brendan from Nashville, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Max? I want to ask you about the reports I've been seeing about Giannis. Apparently, he's prepared to sign a long-term deal in Miami. Do you think he's a good fit there, or is he a better fit at a Golden State, or should he just stay put in Milwaukee?
Well, he can't stay put in Milwaukee because they blew it in Milwaukee. It's like Robert De Niro when Stallone came to him in Copland. But he came back to and De Niro said, "You blew it!" I used to have that on my soundboard, Raj, back in L.A., remember? You blew it!
Oh, yeah.
Milwaukee, those cheap owners in Milwaukee. It's three dudes, they're investment guys. They played Milwaukee cheap. If you're listening to me in Milwaukee, the owners played you cheap. They played you cheap. Malcolm Brogdon was coming up, so they let him leave. Why is that important? Not only does Giannis need a crime partner, the history of the NBA is that if you're a big, you need another dude who's not a big and is just as good as you if you want to win a championship. Shaq needed Kobe and Dwayne Wade in different cities. Penny in his prime wasn't even good enough. You need someone better than Penny if you're Shaq to win a championship because those Magic teams were loaded. Horace Grant and Nick Anderson and all those, Dennis Scott. Kareem never won a championship without Oscar Robertson or Magic Johnson. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, bigs need another guy who's not a big just as good as them. And Giannis is really a big, and he doesn't have that. So why is Malcolm Brogdon significant? Well, that's not that guy. Nice player, but not that guy. Because if you want to trade for that guy, if you're Milwaukee, you're not going to sign him. They're just guys like that don't sign in Milwaukee. So you need to match up salaries. And now, because you don't have Malcolm Brogdon's salary on your book, remember, players already on your team, their contracts can be grandfathered in so you can exceed the cap. But if they're not already on your team, you can't exceed the cap to bring them in. So if they're already on your team, pay them, keep them around as talent and tradable assets, which would have been Brogdon, and you could have matched up his salary with some other star's salary and thrown some stuff together and maybe wound up with Bradley Beal or someone like that to bring in. Can't do it now. Not without losing Middleton or someone like that. And Giannis plus Beal need a guy like Middleton if they want to actually try to win a championship. No, Giannis got to bounce.
Hey, Max. Yeah. What happened to the concept? This was about the callers. You just hogged up all the oxygen for this segment on one caller with hearing your voice.
Well, I'm looking at the other calls. Justin Jefferson or Clyde, which franchise blows it up? Dallas or Houston? What do the Pats do after Cam? Vikings, are they going to get hot? I don't want to talk about the Vikings. Should the Niners get an elite receiver? The question with the Niners is, do they keep Jimmy G? Clemson versus Notre Dame tomorrow. Then a good NFL Sunday. Max Kellerman, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.